I really promise you I was here on time. I was here early. But no, can't get anything to work. Why not? Because apparently I booted up some Windows computer where the microphone and video settings are off, and apparently that just transmogrified tentacle-like across to some other, so Windows had turned off my camera and microphone access, and that's why I hadn't touched this computer since I last live streamed, so thanks, Windows! Stop helping! Stop helping. Stop trying to give me a consistently shitty experience. If I want that, I can turn on Netflix. All right. Hi, hi, everybody. Welcome to your Friday Night Live, baby. Yes, as you can hear, voices back and increasingly robust. Robust. Not quite singing quality yet, but at least we can yowl and ramble a little bit more. So thank you for your patience. Sorry for being a little late. It's not my fault. It probably is my fault, but it's been a couple of months since Windows turned off my camera and microphone access without me asking it to, so I guess that's just how things have gone. Anyway, thank you for dropping by to your Friday night live. What have we got here? What is our date? Our date is the 9th of May, 2025. Look at that. I'm not quite as sharp a jaw as the guy playing Bruce Lee in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but not that far either. At least I don't get thrown into a car door. Anyone kills anybody in a fight, they go to jail. It's called manslaughter. I like how Brad Pitt in that scene takes off his perfect hairpiece to reveal his perfect hair. Anyway, all right. Hi. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good evening. And let me just get myself set up here. And happy to get your questions, comments, issues, challenges, problems. And freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. I'm more than happy to do that. I've been helping a bunch of people with their marriages lately. And I'm happy to help you with your relationships or whatever is on your mind. I would be thrilled to have a chat. You can, of course, request a call-in show at freedomain.com/call. And don't forget to check out the free books at freedomain.com/books and the free documentaries at freedomain.com/documentaries. All right. So let me just log in here and get to your questions and comments. There we go. And to those of you that the show is not out yet, but the show is coming out. Sorry, she was a model who worked in Japan and South Korea and New York. She is not, in fact, South Korean. She is white as the driven snow. White as the driven snow. And she has kindly agreed to take offers because she wants to get a husband. And this show will be coming out soon, and to those of you who've sent in your messages, I will pass them along to her. She's a very nice young lady. All right. That was a good chat. It was a good chat. All right. So let's load more messages, get to your questions, comments, issues, challenges, problems, whatever's on your mind. And of course, if you do want to put your hat in the ring, as a few of you have already done, host@freedomain.com. is how you can do it. I like this guy. MK Ultra Money on X wrote, telling the pregnant lady, I need her seat because I just did leg day. You know, it's funny because for, oh gosh, many a long moon, I mean, 17 years plus, I've been talking about corruption in the pharmaceutical industry, corruption in socialist/American-style healthcare. I did an interview with the guy who did me a great solid, Dr. Keith, and of the Oklahoma Surgery Center. So Dr. Mary Ruwart, we talked about corruption in the FDA, and I've been talking about this for donkey's years. RFK Jr., this is from Autism Capital on X, 70% of the pharmaceutical products in the world are sold to our country. We have only 4.2% of the world's population. We are the sickest country in the world, and pharmaceutical products are the number three cause of death after cancer and heart attacks. That is Wild, man. I really do think that genuinely and deeply believe that if we knew the truth about the pharmaceutical system, I think heads would roll in the street. I really think, I mean, I don't approve of it or anything like that, but I'm just telling you that it would. The degree to which people are viewed as profitable livestock by people pushing endless meds is one of the most appalling things that ever has been done in human history. It really is just appalling. And 97%, it's funny, 97% of scientists agree with whoever is funding them. The other 3% are banned from social media. Yeah. But here's the funny thing about pharmaceuticals, and obviously the last thing you'd ever want to do is take any kind of medical advice from a guy who does moral philosophy. So this is more about the morality of it. And none of this should ever be construed as any kind of advice on medicine or your health. But I thought about this in terms of psychotropics, right? The SSRIs. And certainly there is the supply side of things that should not be ignored. It's very, very important. But I also think about the demand side of things, right? You're unhappy and you go to the doctor and the doctor sends you to a psychiatrist and the psychiatrist says, oh, you have a brain chemistry imbalance. It's like diabetes and insulin and you just got to take this to blah, 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 blah. There is the supply side, but. There's also the demand side. How many people would rather take a face full of pills, rather do that than bring moral clarity to their relationships? That is a different thing. That is a very, very different thing. How many people would rather deal with the psychological issues of stress, meaningless, and lack of relationships, lack of relatedness? How many people would rather deal with the trauma and isolation and loneliness that is at the base of their overeating or their undereating? Or would they rather just take Ozempic? How many people just want to put themselves into these slithery, blood-soaked squid hands of certain doctors and just take pill after pill after pill rather than get to the root of why they are unhappy and why they are unwell? Oof. I do think there is the supply side. There is the supply side. With certain exceptions, of course, who is forcing people to take these pills? Well, no one really, but it's easier. It's easier to think that you just need to take some pills, that it is a merely physical issue rather than a conscience, moral, psychological, spiritual, meaning issue. God, give me a pill. Do not make me look in the black mirror of my choices and the moral choices of those around me. Follow the yellow brick road off the cliff of endless pills rather than look in the mirror and say, what are the morals? And virtues and vices and temptations and corruptions and compromises of my life. Anything but that. It's like alcoholics. How many alcoholics, you know, alcohol use is down with the younger generation. I think that's partly because you can't game too well when you're drunk. And they're just not getting together face to face nearly as much anymore, kind of. COVID scotched that one pretty bad, and I don't know that it's ever coming back. It's like the birth rate. Once it goes down below a certain threshold, seems almost impossible to restore. people have got out of the habit of socializing. Now, of course, a lot of alcohol consumption was driven by socializing. And a lot of that was because, well, two reasons. One, you want to blind yourself to how boring and NPC-like your friends are, and maybe you are. And number two, a lot of alcohol is consumed to overcome social anxiety. It's a disinhibitor. If you feel tense, awkward, just drink, drink, and become the funny guy with the lampshade on his head, right? So, why do you drink? Why do you drink? Why do people drink? Because they're bored. Because they're isolated. Because they're anxious. Because most people are quite dull. They just copy-paste whatever slogans happen to have passed through the shimmer-scrolling text of whatever they looked at that day. But people don't want to look. And listen, I'm not above this. I'm not lecturing from some guru-like space of personal perfection. Far from it. Far from it. The one thing, so when I had my 16 months of insomnia, I would not take sleeping pills. That I would not do. That I would not do. And I didn't know how deep the corruption was running in my life. I didn't get it. I didn't get it. And it took a long time to get it. To go from theory, words, to actual deeds in the realm of philosophy is deeply shocking to the system of the conscience. The soul revolts. Well, maybe the soul celebrates, but every other part of you revolts at taking the theory and putting it into practice. That's a hoof print to the forehead, I'll tell you, repeatedly. Repeatedly. Oh, somebody, Pablo, was saying, alcohol use is down, but weed use is up. I don't know, you got to be insane to take weed these days. Like, you just, that's like Deer Hunter style Russian roulette. All right. Yeah, it's funny because I saw a comment the other day about me. Little old me. And the comment was, oh yeah, that's the guy who told everyone to detach from their families if they disagreed about taxation. Ah, the straw men of infinity. How sad and tragic it is. Ah, I'm just going to create some ridiculous caricature of your argument. And then, look, I'm super smart. Yeah, like Einstein, the guy who said everything is relative and there's no such thing as time. Big brain. Oh, it's sad, man. It must be the saddest thing in the world to strawman somebody else's argument and then reject it and feel full smart. Full smart. Full smart. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's, to me, it's a kind of devilish thing. And, you know, there are legitimate pharmaceuticals, of course, right? Antibiotics are pretty good, in my humble opinion. But, you know, people, they love to run to the pill pushers so they don't have to deal with the corruption in their life. I mean, I raw-dogged insomnia for 16 months before I got it, before I figured it out, before I got it. I wouldn't go to pills, wouldn't go to drugs, wouldn't go to alcohol. Even though sometimes when I couldn't sleep, I lived not too far from a pretty raucous disco bar in Toronto called My Apartment. I don't know. Is it still running? If anyone can check, My Apartment, it was called. I still remember there was this really shapely woman there who sold shots, and she must have like no hearing left at this point. But I remember I would go, I'd put on some fancy duds and I would go down to the bar called My Apartment and I'd chat with people, I'd dance with people, I'd dance on my own for a couple of hours. Ah, it was great. Ooh, I love doing that. deep-hipped Harlem shuffle, moonwalking stuff. Bro had some moves back in the day, I'll tell you that. Bro had some moves back in the day. But I raw dogged it, and then I was in therapy, and yeah, it took a long time. It took a long time to really get it. In hindsight, blindingly obvious, but you know, I mean, this is one of the reasons why I try to put out so much wisdom as best I can in this show is, you know, anyone I can help hit the gas on or accelerate them, because it was brutal for me, man. There was nobody and nothing to help me, at least that I knew of, and I pretty extensively read in the realm of philosophy. This was after my master's. This, yeah, this is when I was working. I was a business guy. Man. I remember sometimes I'd play Quake 2. Sometimes I had a little CD player, portable CD player, which is wild, but you think about it, how delicate that laser was. And there was a couple of albums I'd listened to. There was a really nice, it was Christy Berg with a symphony orchestra and doing some of his hits, and he did some covers. You are always on my mind. You are always on my mind. The old Willie Nelson song. Actually, Pet Shop Boys did a pretty good version of that. It was kind of heartbreaking for me at the time. But yeah, I'd listen to some albums. I'd read. I'd write. I'd lie there. I'd get up. Go dance. Come back. Whew. Just could not settle. And I could not sleep because I was not awake. I was sachet habitual sleepwalking through my life. I actually seen Christy Berg 3 times live. It's a good show. Guy does some lawsuits. I'll tell you that. All right. Nobody lying. Somebody says, the cynic in me sees a world begging, please, whatever happens, don't make me think, say the masses, and those in power and the illusion of control, please don't let them think. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Ain't that America? Something to see, baby. Pills that kill. It's an old John Cougar. Now, I think he went full communist, if I understand it. As a whole. Yes, all those pills to cure you. Here is something to keep you from caring how messed up you are. Now here's the bill. Now here's the store that helps you deal with seeing the bill for what they did to you. Yeah. Sorry, got a little incomprehensible towards the end there, but I think I get the general idea. All right. Let's see here. Chapter 30-ish. Somebody's chapter 30 into Steph's novel, The Future. Hard cases, and hard cases require hard choices to be made to solve them. Or at least if you value human life and morality. Thanks, Steph. Yeah, The Future is really trippy. Really trippy. And it's one of my favorite books. One of my favorite books. I was just working today on the new novel. Oh, what have I got here? No, it's not pinned. All right, hang on. What have I got here? No borderline. Oh, what do we got? Alt-T-W. I know that from back in the day. I used to measure the words writing. Not bad. I've done 12,374 words. 26 pages. Not bad. Not bad. Probably 10% done. All right. Here's something else. 77% of bachelor's degrees have a positive return on investment, while only 57% of master's degrees do, according to a 2024 paper. The prestige of a school has a lot to do with ROI. For example, an English BA from a high-ranked University of Michigan has 581,925 ROI, while English degree holders at Virginia Commonwealth University have a negative median ROI. And of course, the type of degree matters too, especially for those not graduating from the most selective schools. Degrees in nursing and engineering, for example, have high median ROIs. Those in biology and finance have much lower ones. I don't know if this takes into account lost earnings. Yeah, I don't think it does. I think the ROI is, well, you spent this much on your education, it generates this much, but if you had four extra years in the workforce, what would that do to your income as a whole? I don't know that it's a full return on investment stuff. Somebody says, once again, bad assumptions and apples to oranges. This ROI ignores time in half of the equation. The question is, if you, society, your parents, have $200,000 to invest, would you be better off sticking it into the S&P 500 or going to college? And the SAP nearly always wins in the end. Yeah, they're just doing minus college costs, not an additional 4 years in the workplace, which follows you all the way up. Yeah, it's wonderful to bring all the immigrants in to do work when the work is about to be done by AI and robots. Excellent. Excellent. I like what Elon Musk said as a whole, where he said, in the past, it used to be strength that was the victor. Now it's weakness, but morality needs to be universal and objective. UPB, Elon Musk. UPB. I saw this just before I sat down to write today. Rat Limit wrote, one cool thing about writing is how every second of it is miserable, unless you suck at it. I wouldn't say that every second of it is miserable, but it really does feel like throwing yourself out of a plane and trying to grab a parachute halfway down. Somebody wrote, somebody on here recently said, I haven't lost friends over politics. I've lost friends over morals. And I can't stop thinking about it. People think politics is a separate superhuman thing, but it's your morals in action. Yeah, and this is why, you know, oh, if they disagree with you on taxation break, it's like people cannot love you and also want you thrown into rape rooms for disagreeing with them, right? My position, as has been the case for decades, my position is ridiculously simple, which is if you think that Donald Trump or Joe Biden or Barack Obama or whoever, right? If you think those people just do the very best stuff with resources, send them money. Just write a check, send the money, make it out to Barack Obama. You can do all this wonderful stuff. I would never dream of using force to prevent you from funding whoever you wanted, unless it was a hitman, right? But, you know, I would never dream of it. However, if I am of, say, the opinion that Barack Obama is not the savior of the universe who can do all kinds of good with infinite resources, and I don't want to send money to him, am I allowed to disagree with you? Am I allowed to have my own thoughts and opinions with regards to virtue and ethics? And if that's not the case, if you say, well, I say, listen, man, I'd never want you thrown in prison for funding this guy. You say, well, I want you thrown in prison for not funding this guy. Well, then you don't love me. Because you want to force me to do something. Like, we understand that when you force people, you don't love them. No goddamn person in the sane universe says, oh, the rapist, like this would be an insane thing to say. The rapist doth loveth his victim. Of course he doesn't. It's a monster. It's forcing her. Or the thief loves the property owner he's stealing from. And the guy who murders, yes, by this logic, well, he just must love the person he's killing. No, we don't initiate the use of force against people and then claim we love them. We don't do it. So fuck off with your initiation of force and claiming you love me. Bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Don't wave a gun in my face and claim you love me. No, thank you. Saw the legend Gordon Lightfoot. Three times. Was he native, Lightfoot? Sundown, you better take care. He's a good singer. All right. Yeah, Douglas Adams explained the secret to writing is to stare at a blank piece of paper until you start sweating blood from your forehead. Yeah, he had considerable writer's block. It's really tough with comedy because you can't imagine it's going to work. Like when my daughter and I, for, gosh, about 6 or 7 years engaged in this epic Lord of the Rings style role-playing adventure with all kinds of characters and locations. And she fought demons and dragons. She befriended vampires. She ran for office as a mayor. We did so much in that game. Every time we sat down to do it, in fact, this can't possibly work. And then every time it would just turn into this absolute blast and would work really well. So it does feel like it's never going to work. And creative writing is like that as well. And of course, for a lot of people, it stops working, right? So in 2014, there was a Princeton study by Gillens and Page, published in Perspectives on Politics, which analyzed 20 years of US policy data and found the public opinion has a near zero statistical impact on laws, while elite and business interests dominate policymaking. They found that the number of Americans for or against any idea has no impact on the likelihood that Congress will make it law. Quote, the preferences of the average American appear to have only a minuscule, near zero, statistically non-significant impact upon public policy. And of course, you can look at my epic rant from many years ago called The Truth About Voting. I view Trump as a different animal and a different issue. So Trump is outside of that. Oh, thank you, Pablo. Freedomain.com/donate. If you guys could help out, I really, really would appreciate it. I really would. I was, real knocked out for the last 2 months with health issues. Seemed to be on the mend, but I appreciate your patience as I return from the depths of mumbleness that was going on. So, was it The Myth of the Rational Voter? Anyway, I interviewed the guy, but it's interesting. All right. Somebody stop me. In a recent call-in show, you identified workaholism as I have no value except for the utility I provide. This belief is at the core of my existence. How does one move past it? Oh, thank you for your wishes. I'm glad to be better too. It's still a bit variable, but it's definitely better. All right. And it's funny too, because I do take such good care of my health. The fact that I got this random ear thing was just some bad luck, man. All right. I have no value except for the utility I provide. Well, you have to look back at how you were parented. Did your parents, and hit me with a Y or an N regarding this as a whole. So, did you have parents who took pleasure in your existence without you having to Robin Williams style perform? Did you have parents who took pleasure in your existence without you having to perform, without you having to do chores or please them or be funny or be cute or raise their social status or make them look good or make them proud or something like that? Did you have parents who took pleasure in your existence without you having to provide anything other than your true, authentic, natural self? And what have we got? No. Yes. Good. No. Big N. No. Right. I'm sorry. It's a no for me as well. I'm really sorry about that. That's very sad. Very sad. Okay. So, if you had people... Oh, yeah. Sorry. Thanks, James. The shows are 1189, 1192, 1198. True News 5 Voting, Truth About Voting Part 2, Truth About Voting Part 3. So, Do you have value in your authentic, natural thoughts and experiences? Are you of value based upon your authentic and natural thoughts and experiences? Are you enough just being, or do you have to provide and perform? This is the Me Plus stuff that I talked about for many years, including in The Truth About Robin Williams, that I think really annoyed Joe Rogan. So, what does it mean, or what does it do to your personality? What does it do to your sense of self-worth? What does it do to your soul if you do not bring people pleasure or value just by being yourself? I mean, I try. I mean, I know it's not a totally organic and natural sort of situation to be sitting here and talking to a camera for an hour, hour and a half. But I do try to just be myself and communicate. I'm not trying to put on some big show. I'm trying to be spontaneous with my passions. I'm not trying to push or force anything. And I'm trying to have a conversation, respond, and be natural. I'm not trying to, you know, if a joke occurs to me, I'll tell the joke. I'm not compulsively trying to provide value or whatever, right? Now, you know, whether that's positive or negative for you, that's how it is, right? Because I'm trying to communicate more than the content, but really just the form. Thank you, Paula. Being away, helping family. Wanted to know you're always appreciated. Thank you. I appreciate that. So let me ask you this, guys. I believe I must provide value in order to stay employed, but with my friends, I just show up and people seem to enjoy me. Yeah. I mean, of course, right? I mean, you, in a business or work environment, you're there to get a paycheck and provide value. I'm not talking about that. I mean, that's natural, right? And it's healthy, right? Your boss is not your friend and so on, right? But can you all, you know, really think of, grok, inhabit, and conceive of just being yourself without show, without flash, without comedy, without anything other than your natural thoughts and authentic self-expression, right? Can you imagine people enjoying you without you working at being enjoyable? It's hard to even phrase it in a way, isn't it? It's hard to even know how to phrase it without it sounding too abstract, if that makes sense. Can you be your natural self? And will people care? I mean, the big challenge is, let's say you're just down. You're just down. Can you just be down and have people care? Sick is different from down. Can you just be down and will people care? Can you have the normal flux and spread of human emotion and have people be there for you and just care? The value that we perceive in ourselves is founded upon the value our parents perceive in us. I mean, when I was in grade 8, I did a grade 13 writing course. My mother bragged about that. When I was in grade 8, I did an adult computer science course about reading and writing sectors on 5 1/4 inch floppy disks through a PET computer. And I remember, got so bored in it. I was working on a game and the teacher accused me of playing games and wouldn't believe that I wrote the game until I did a control break and showed the code and stepped in through the code. And my mother was very, very braggy about that. I never completed the course because I didn't care about writing reading and writing disk sectors on a PET 5 1/4 inch 360K floppy. Didn't care about it at all. I eventually had to tell my mother that I did not complete the course. My son is taking adult computer science courses, and my son is taking adult or almost adult writing classes. I remember, I don't blame the guy. It was actually kind of funny. But I remember I wrote a poem about space. And after I finished it, there was a long pause. And then one of the 18-year-olds whistled the theme from Star Trek. Or something like that, right? It did diminish a little bit of the power of the poem, but it was actually kind of funny. Actually kind of funny. Oh, things that would have just gone over the cascade of time with no memory or recollection or imprint, but now it's burned into these electrons forever and ever. Amen. Can you just be yourself and be enough? Can you just be yourself and be enough? Somebody says, that is hard. I'd say almost impossible for me. Wouldn't the reason people would like me is because I bring value and have virtues they like? No, no, no. Not because you bring value, but because your natural self is valuable. You know, I've said this before, I'm sure I'll say it again. I don't want my wife to change anything about her. Not one thing about her. She is perfect the way she is. Funny, buoyant, enthusiastic, affectionate, thoughtful, wise. Just incredible. I don't want to, don't tinker. I don't tinker. With what works. I don't want her to change a thing. So. Not bring value, our value. Our value. Somebody says, I've heard someone who was also late diagnosed autistic. Maybe, all right. Early 30s, people pleasing goes very deep and the masking is very deep trauma. Trying to unwind coping strategies from our own actual identity, damaging in the extreme over decades. Hope this helps others. I'll believe in diagnoses as a whole when there's a blood test or a physical test. See, here's the problem. Here's the problem. This comes from the 4th of May, 2025. This is from lbc.co.uk. Leading Britain's conversation. I don't know who they are, but they look legit. And not just because they conform with my prejudices. All right. What percent of people in the UK consider themselves or self-identify as neurodivergent? What percentage of people self-identify as neurodivergent? In other words, they say, I have autism or dyslexia or dyspraxia or this kind of stuff, right? Dyspraxia, what is that? Developmental coordination disorder, neurological and developmental condition that affects coordination and motor skills. 1 in 20 primary school age children, blah, blah, blah. Tasks requiring balancing, playing sports, or learning to drive. Okay. So what percentage of people in the UK self-identify as neurodivergent? Do you know it's the majority? The majority of people in the UK consider themselves neurodivergent. And a 2021 study found a 787% increase in the number of diagnoses between 1998 and 2018 in the UK. Autism spectrum disorder increased from 1 in 2,500 children 80 years ago to 1 in 36 today. So I'm just trying to look at what are the percentages here. I don't want to listen to the argument. Okay, so sorry, they don't give the actual percentage here. This is from The Independent. More people either seeking medical diagnosis for conditions like autism, dyslexia, or dyspraxia, or even self-diagnosing as a result of decreased stigma. It's not decreased stigma, in my completely idiotic amateur opinion that's never any kind of medical advice. Dear, oh dear, England is home to a lot of eccentrics. And there has been a huge number of patients in the UK who've requested the autism assessment, growing 22% year on year to hit 200,000 in August 2024, with demand more than 10 times higher than it was in 2019, just a couple of years. 10 times higher. Massive backlog has built up. 90% of referrals are waiting longer than the recommended 13 weeks. Oh, so it says here, a leading psychologist has said a majority of Britons might now be identifying themselves as neurodivergent. So that's why there's not a percentage. So may now be identifying themselves as neurodivergent. So sorry, I went a little strong on my first round. So what I want to know is, if there was no money in it, how much would there be? Right? This is a big, big, important question. It's a big, important question. If there was no money in it, how much would there be? Money, attention, and self. I don't want to say self-drama, but attention, self-definition. I'm X. I don't know, man. I fully accept there's autism, and I fully accept that that's really tough. 26% of the autistics are like IQ 50 or below and really can't function very well. But I don't know. I mean, the reality is, and this is anecdotal, but remember, I lived in three countries as a child. I lived in, well, four often, really. I lived in England. I lived in Ireland. I lived in South Africa. And I lived in Canada. I gotta tell you, this stuff was not around. Well, now, there were awkward. I mean, we used to play every Sunday. Every Saturday, we would have a pickup game of baseball. Every Sunday, we would have a pickup game of soccer. And there was a fellow who played with us who was really, really awkward. Couldn't catch, threw in a spastic kind of way. Maybe he has this whatever, right? I don't know. Dysphasia or whatever it was called, right? But it was never labeled that way. He was just kind of awkward. And he ended up getting a desk job, which worked out well for him. And of course, nobody ever expected him to become any kind of athlete. But I mean, what has happened to kids as a whole who don't go out and play? I mean, I was explaining this to my daughter the other day, that when I was a kid, like I'd come home from school sort of 3:30, I had about a 20-minute walk to school. And I'd go out into the neighborhood, and there were like 20 kids you could play with, like always. No adults around. We just organized things ourselves. My mom would have this big giant cowbell. She'd lean out the window and ring the cowbell when it was time to come in for dinner. And I still hear a cowbell now. I don't drool because my mom's cooking sucked, but I do expect to eat Pavlovian style. Like, we were just out. We climbed trees. We built forts in the woods. We played war. We played soccer if someone had a ball. We built go-karts together. Like, you just played with no money. It was all free, almost all free. I mean, didn't have to go to Chuck E. Cheese, didn't have to go to an arcade, didn't have to, right? Because it didn't need to be, right? It was an incredibly safe, high-trust, homogenous society. I roamed from the age of 4 onwards. I roamed all over town, on the bus, on the subway, and so on. Now, all of that time that I spent outside playing with my friends, inventing games, inventing rules, inventing enforcement. It's one of the reasons why I'm a voluntarist, is I know it works. If it can work, if 5-year-olds can do it, adults can do it. Come up with their own rules and solutions. Now, I mean, listen, I don't want to obviously blow my own trombone here. I'm pretty good at sports. I've won pickleball tournaments. I was the 7th fastest swimmer in Ontario. I played a lot of tennis, never quite won, but got close at times. You know, I'm pretty sporty, and as I've played just about every sport known to man. I was on cross-country running teams. I was on the water polo team, the swim team, of course, the tennis team, and played baseball, played soccer, played cricket, played a little bit of rugby, but I think it was Australian rules rugby, which is basically no rules, nature red and tooth and claw rugby. And I just have fairly good hand-eye coordination, and I'm pretty sporty. But that's because I had a lot of time roaming around and playing things and all of that. So what is it with kids who are stuck indoors? They don't go out. They don't play. Right? Social trust has collapsed, as we know. And they're just home playing video games all day. Video games do nothing really for your hand-eye coordination in terms of sports, because the movements are micro, right? You need bigger movements. Oh, yeah, played squash, too. A lot of squash, particularly in college. I played squash up until a couple of years ago. So, how many people, when they're just not out doing what you're supposed to be doing as a kid, you're supposed to be out in the neighborhood, roaming them around with other kids, learning your social graces, learning your hand-eye coordination, learning how to have and enforce rules, and having your drama squabble fights, and ostracizing kids and then bringing them back in if they do the right thing, and being ostracized and coming back in if you do the right thing, and all of this. Like, when I grew up, if kids wouldn't obey the rules, we wouldn't play with them. And then we'd not play with them until they apologized and promised to play by the rules. Then we'd give them another try. And if they played by the rules, always forgiven, always forgotten. If they didn't play by the rules, we kicked them out again. And it was like 3 strikes and you don't get invited back, which never happened. I mean, never kicked someone out permanently. This is why deplatforming was just kind of weird to me. It's like, okay, so let's say I didn't play by some rules. Okay, give me a warning or whatever, right? But no, social murder, ostracism forever and ever. Amen. Asterisk, not Elon Musk, right? So, I lived in England for many years, what's called a council estate, which is a bunch of fairly cheap rent-controlled apartments with a bunch of grass around. And we didn't have to cross roads. We could just play in the woods. We could play. There was lots of green spaces around and so on, right? So, it was, and I was never home. I was never home. I mean, I didn't like home, but yeah, I was never home. Why would you want to be home? And nobody had any snacks. That's another funny thing, you know, that now kids can't go more than 20 minutes without a plate full of watermelon and little sliced up orange rinds. So, I don't know. The glorious anarchy of childhood is gone. You know, there's that meme that says the world that you grew up in no longer exists. It's very true. All gone. All dead and gone. Very sad. It was great. And of course, when I was in boarding school, with 500 other kids. And there was always someone and a whole bunch of stuff to do a whole bunch of things with. Never, ever short. Now, I mean, I don't know if you've ever lived in the suburbs, but they're mostly bedroom communities, right? People go to work, they drop their kids off at daycare, they go to work, they come home, they get their kids from daycare, they give them dinner, then it's like 8 o'clock, they got to bathe them or whatever, and nobody's out. Maybe couple of hours on Sunday afternoon. That's it. That's it. Somebody says, I started taking self-defense courses a while back, in part to get my hand-eye coordination back and get in touch with my body. Spending like 2 decades playing video games growing up and a decade of weed use has really taken its toll. It's amazing how quickly I'm getting it back. Yeah, and this is one of the things I was very grateful to in theater school, was I did a lot of Alexandra technique. I did a lot of body work. I did a lot of stretching. I did Tai Chi. I just did a lot of stuff that really helped me do the body work that was more missing. I mean, yeah, even in Canada, there were local places in the winter, local places in the park where you could go and you could just toboggan, right? And you just get one of these 99-cent plastic sheets and you just would go in toboggan, and you'd go out there, you'd call up some friend who would go in tobogganing. Sounds great. I never had a play date. I never had a play date. Never. You just go places and there'd be kids. I mean, maybe you'd know them, maybe you wouldn't, but you could always hang out with them and do something fun. And I don't know. I don't know if that's coming back. Certainly not in my lifetime. Somebody says, true, parents kicked me out after lunch, took my bike alone, and just kept myself out of the way. Being alone, I didn't have to deal with abuse at home or bullying at school. Never was friends with anyone long term. Well, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about that. I mean, it is true that in order to have a social life as a kid or any other time, in order to have a social life, you have to be able to put up with annoying people. If you're a purist and you can't put up with annoying people, you really can't have a broadband social life. I mean, that's just the fact. There has to be some graciousness for the annoying people. Yeah, I am describing a high-trust society, for sure. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, it's all gone for the most. I mean, it still exists in sort of spotty areas, in rural areas. Steak and Shake is now accepting Bitcoin payments at all locations starting May the 16th, making the cryptocurrency available to our more than 100 million customers. Isn't that great? Have you ever tried to friend zone your way into romance? Have you ever tried that? I have. I tried that when I was a teenager. Oh, no. Oh, nobody told me. Nobody told me. You ever tried that? You ever tried being a woman's friend in the hopes that maybe you could upgrade to girlfriend, boyfriend? I think it's a more common male strategy. Yeah, it didn't work. Yeah. There was a great show called Scrubs back in the day. And there was one of the shows, a guy kissed a girl and then kind of ran away. And there was a countdown clock, which is you've got like 20 minutes till you kiss her again or you're stuck in the friend zone. And it's like the whole show was just counting down that 20 minutes. It was very funny. It was a good show. All right. A few weeks ago, 29-year-old male, posted about wanting to confess my feelings to my best friend, 27-year-old female. After months of emotional back and forth, I decided to be honest with her. There had been closeness, physical affection, long vacations, and friend dates, the blurred lines, and it felt like it was time to stop guessing. So I did it. I told her, even when I already deep down knew the answer. She was kind, quiet, unsure, and respectful. She said I'm one of the most important people in her life, if not the most important. She'd thought about it and about us multiple times before in that marry your best friend kind of way. But she doesn't feel that kind of romantic feelings towards me. Oh no, we lack chemistry. She still wants us to remain close, and we agreed to let this settle before we talk again about how to move forward. We didn't really have much time to talk. And even though that conversation went as well as it could have, no, it didn't, I'm left feeling tired, not disappointed in her, not angry, just exhausted. I've done this whole emotionally mature person who does the right thing so many times, and yet I keep ending up in the same place. I'm the great guy, the safe space, the one everyone misses and appreciates, but not the one anyone chooses in that way. I'm frustrated. I've worked through so many things in life, like school, university, housing, and career, but this part, romantic connection, keeps slipping through. And it's not that I'm unloved, I'm just not loved in that way. And when I'm finally interested in someone, when I feel truly connected, it turns out they don't feel the same. I'm not looking for pity. I'm just tired of being told how great I am by people who don't want to actually be fully with me. I don't want compliments. I want connection, mutual, real, romantic. I want to stop being the one person. I want to stop being the one people talk to about their love lives and finally be part of one myself. Telling her was still the right decision. I would have carried it with me for years otherwise. But now that it's out, I'm just standing here with this mix of peace, resignation, and quiet frustration. I just don't know right now. Is it the right thing to start dating again, to go through the same cycle over and over? No. With women as a whole, if you don't strike out hard for the romance zone, she's going to put you in eunuch, servant, slave, brother, friend zone. It's a bad idea. And I learned in my teens, speak your heart or move on, but don't stick around crossing your fingers. It's a bad idea. It's a very bad idea. You will lower yourself into a sexless zone because to be around a woman, okay, look, let's be frank. Women know if you're attracted to them. Women know. It's kind of their biological job to know. Women know if you are attracted to them. So if you are around a woman and attracted to her and you don't say anything, she's just going to view you as kind of weak and pathetic. Like if you want to understand this as a male, so imagine that you've got a friend who desperately wants you to give him a job. You know that. He knows that. You both know it. And you're like, you know what? I mean, the job is in sales, so he's got to be kind of a go-getter. He's got to be kind of assertive, if not downright aggressive. He's got to be pushy. He's got to say what he wants. He's got to, right? He's got to be kind of a strong guy. It's a sales job, man. He's got to have some oomph. He's got to have some castanets swinging between his tidy whities, right? And your friend is hanging around. Do you know he's just desperate for a job? But he doesn't say anything. And then finally, after like a year and a half, he's like, you know, I really think I want a job. You know? I've been thinking about it. I think it would work well, like with you as a boss and me as an employee, and maybe we could partner up. But I've got strong feelings about, you know, wanting a job. Would you give him a sales job if he'd hung around for 18 months without saying anything and then finally said it in a kind of weak-kneed, waggle-wristed kind of way? No, of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. You'd be like, you know, I basically have known you've wanted this job for 18 months. Why on earth you wouldn't tell me you want this job is just kind of weird to me. Like, what's wrong with you that you don't just say, hey, man, I want a job. I think I'd be good at it. I mean, I want to be pushy. I want to, you know, give me a try. Just give me a try. Give me a try. You know what? I won't even take any salary for the first month. Let me just show you what I can do. Let me just have this job. You'll be amazed, right? Job zone. Yeah. Right. Well, then you might give him a job. But if he's just kind of hanging around, showing vague interest, oh, that's an interesting business model you have. Oh, how much do the salespeople get paid? Oh, yeah, that could be a cool job. I don't know. Like, just not, like, you wouldn't. Be assertive. Ask for what you want. Freedomain.com/donate. I can't model it any more than I do, people. Freedomain.com/donate. Do I ask? Come on. Do I model asking for what I want? I want call-in shows. I want people to read my books. I want people to watch my documentaries. I want people to donate to the show. I want people to give me questions. I ask for what I want. I'm not asking you to read my mind. It drives people nuts. It really does. Like, I remember this on social media, right? Drives people nuts. I mean, I still remember, I'll mention this once every 6 months until I'm dead, when somebody donated $2 to me and I posted, I don't mean to sound ungrateful, but that's all they said, right? Because, you know, I got to track it. I got to report on it. I've got to pay fees on it. I got to pay taxes on it. Like, it, I want donations that aren't $2 or $1. I do. That's what I want. And people go nuts when you, well, as a male, right? All female preferences are empowering. All male preferences are bullying and controlling. Like, you know what it is as men? Like, have you ever tried to be assertive about what you want outside of a business environment as a man? Here's what I need. Here's what I want. Here's what I'm looking for. Here's what works for me. You brute. You tyrant. Right? Women can have height requirements. Men can't have weight requirements, even though weight is under your control. And height is not. A woman can want a man who makes six figures. A man cannot want a woman who doesn't post semi-nude pictures or nude pictures on the interwebs. It's a giant system of tubes. Yeah, I don't want small donations. Because if you're that broke that you can only afford to send me $2, don't send me the $2. If you can afford more and I haven't provided enough value, then just wait till I've provided enough value and send me more. I mean, when I was, I remember when I was working at Pizza Hut, there was this whole room full of, there was a whole end of the room tables with like a whole bunch of like 20 kids, some birthday party. God, it was a mess. There was pizza on the ceiling. There was pizza on the carpet. Like, it was just a complete mess. And it was like $120 and they left a $2 tip. Oh, that's annoying. That's annoying. That's annoying. Like, order one less pizza and leave a decent tip. Especially because it took like an hour to clean up, right? Thank you, Chris. So, I mean, are men allowed to have preferences? I would express preferences. People would lose their minds. Of course, men aren't allowed. Right? You understand that we are the modern serfs, right? We men are the modern serfs. We vastly, disproportionately contribute to the tax system, and we can be hauled off to a war at a whim. We are the chattel serfs of the tax farm. We're not allowed to have preferences. And I just remember, like, people get so mad because I had preferences and expressed preferences. Well, you should be grateful. Maybe that's all the money he has. It's like, then I don't want it. I don't want to take someone's last $2. My God, that's awful. Maybe that's all he can afford. Then he should not send it to me. If it's like your last $2, please God, if it's your last $2, save it for bus fare so you can get a job. Buy soap. Buy toothpaste. Buy whatever you need to buy. But don't send it to me. Yeah, that lasted for years. $2 feckin' dollars. And I mocked and savaged and attacked someone who sent me $2. First of all, I never showed their name, of course, right? And I just said, I don't mean to sound ungrateful, but I just expressed a mild non-preference for a $2 donation. People just lost their minds. It was absolutely hilarious. There's just this instinct in society that when productive men have preferences, you shut them the fuck down. You attack them until hopefully they self-attack. You attack them so that no other men dare express any kind of preference at all. My God. My God. I mean, it really was to ensure that no other men were to express any kind of preference. No, I'm allowed to express a preference. I don't like $2 donations. I don't. I feel bad. I don't want people's last $2. And if they think my show is only worth $2, I don't want them to tell me that. And if they, you know, and it's just an empathy thing, right? It's just a basic empathy thing. I'm allowed to have preferences. I want to talk about IQ. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about that. I'm allowed to have preferences. And if you don't have preferences, you kind of don't exist. You know, we are really the sum of our preferences in the world. What else we have? What else are we? Expression of preferences. I like this in bed. I don't like that in bed. I like this food. I don't like that food. I like this music. I like that. Don't like that music. I don't like horror movies. I do like character dramas, historical dramas, whatever, right? So, yeah, I just remember that. People lost their shit that I expressed a mild preference for donations that weren't $2. I just remember that. It was very funny. I mean, I knew what was going on. But yeah, people just, they hung on to that. Oh yeah, that guy. He just relentlessly mocked and attacked someone who could only afford to donate $2. It's like, fucking liars, you know? Fucking liars in the world. Just, oh yeah, like, this is the guy who tells you should cut off your family just for disagreeing with them about taxes or politics. It's like, that's not the argument. Just giant fucking liars, GFLs. The giant brain-clogging, peeing in the pool, shitting in the salad, just pathological fucking liars. Ugh, so gross, so boring. I'm like, I have no one like that within a million miles of my life. It's the fucking liars. Just, and you see, I mean, you see this in politics, still, people still pumping that it was an insurrection. Nobody was charged with insurrection. That officers were killed. It's like, no officers died that day. Russia collusion conspiracy hoax is still being pushed in some circles. The fine people hoax is endless. Endless, like fucking Al Gore, Jesus Christ. Stick a broomstick up someone's ass, give them a bad haircut and turn them into a pathological liar. You'd have something approximating Al Gore, the truth guy. Still pushing the global warming shit. I mean, in the 80s, that was a thing. We were all supposed to be dead long ago. Doesn't matter. Just CO2, plant food is poison. Well, you see these videos of the guy who's like, would you date a guy? Would you date a short guy? No. Well, step on the scale then. No. I don't want to show you how much I weigh. Well, you won't date a short guy. Am I allowed to? I want to date a woman who weighs less than me. Yeah, like the joke one of the woman who's like, I need to see your bank account. It's like, okay, I need to see you without makeup and step on the scale. Right? Women are allowed to have preferences. We men are chattel serfs to be exploited for the sake of buying women's votes. Like, all the government does is jam its squid tentacles into our nads, pockets, and assholes to extract as much money as possible to buy women's votes so that women have the credence and grafted balls to insult us forever and ever. Amen. You know, it's people talk about how, you know, public health and governments and so on and the media is going to have a tough time recovering after COVID, right? And that's all true. But I'll tell you this, chivalry is dead forever. Fucking dead forever. Chivalry is dead forever. I mean, when women were liberated from all restraints, including rational fiscal restraints, I mean, not all, of course, right? Lovely women in the world, wonderful women in the world, but a lot of them turned into OnlyFans chasing, baby murdering, male insulting, open borders, addicts complaining about the crime rate, just lunatics. Ah, but you see, if we liberate women, we're going to get all these rocket scientists and surgeons, and, you know, we're getting a few of those, but mostly we're getting women staggering around the streets, tits out. A lot of them, not all, right? Obviously, not even a majority, but there's some, too many, just staggering around, tits and ass out, looking to get free stuff from men, going on foodie calls. I call them foodie calls. Women who go on dates just to get food. I mean, the percent of young women in America who are doing online sex work. It's crazy. 14% of women aged 18 to 25 in the US. 14% of women. 14% of young women doing OnlyFans. That's wild. That's female liberation. Taco Cash. That's it. That's it. So this person wrote, for every 10 girls aged 18 to 24, one of them is on OnlyFans. So that's 10%. I've got 14%. This is coming off, what is that? Some AI. And if you consider that the OnlyFans model works best with young, attractive women, and it's not like 14% of, so if all those creators were in the 18 to 25, that's 14% of that demographic. So, yeah. So, 1 in 10, right? 1 in 10. I am the 1 in 10, the number out of the East. So, what percentage of the very attractive young women are OnlyFans, given that OnlyFans models tend to do better if they're very attractive? What percentage of very attractive women are OnlyFans models? A lot. Certainly higher than the average, right? Madness. This is female liberation. It is going to take probably 8 to 10 generations for women's reputations as a whole to be resurrected, to recover. Probably 8 to 10 generations. That's a long ass time, man. It's a quarter century to, 240 to 300 years, probably. And it's going to take, I mean, what is the number of abortions since Roe v. Wade, right? 60 million? It's 10 Holocausts, right? 10 Holocausts. Over 63 million. That's as of 2022. So higher, right? 63 million abortions. Just in the US. I mean, it's a pretty murderous set of witchery going on out there. Since women's liberation, government spending has gone through the roof. National debts have skyrocketed. Sex work has gone through the roof. Divorce has skyrocketed. More children are crippled through single mother households. And there have been 63 million children killed in the womb since 1973. Million abortions since nine. That's a World War II and a half. 10 Holocausts, 2/3 of communism in Russia. And you can actually go with premium.freedomain.com. I had a really ferocious debate about abortion with a woman. I actually had to kind of tell her to keep a civil tongue in her head because it got pretty ugly. Women will, they will fight tooth and nail. Most women will fight tooth and nail for the right to kill children in the womb. And I'm not going to say that women have gotten worse, but female nature plus the state has been exposed and can't be unseen. It's wild. So what percentage of women have had an abortion? 1 in 4 U.S. women expected to have an abortion in their lifetime. Those aren't women, those are graveyards. What is it, 2-3%? For extremities, mostly for lifestyle. And health risks associated with abortion include infection, pelvic pain, damage to the cervix, heavy bleeding, infertility in cases of unsafe abortion, mental health outcomes, research but not conclusive. Breast cancer risk, research but not conclusive. Premature death, research but not conclusive. And what is it? The morning after pill? 40% of women have a negative health effect from that. It's like, well, it does kill the baby. It may not be great for you. Or it kills a implantation. Sorry, it kills implantation. I think that's the way. Whew. But women are just the peaceful sex, the lovely sex, the beautiful sex, the... I mean, it's a real shame. I mean, the women I know, lovely, wonderful, thoughtful, caring community of women I know, just great, great people. But the carelessness and the callousness, you know, men to be motivated need the illusion of female beauty. All right. Any other last questions, comments, issues, whatever is on your mind? Happy to facilitate. Happy to help. All right. I would like to poll the suffragettes to find out what they feel about fighting for women's rights to be ladies of easy virtue that existence in the 19th century. That existed in the 19th century too, yeah. I'm fairly certain that is something they would hate. Well, of course, there were a lot of women who warned against giving the vote to women. And look, I have no issues with giving the vote to women. I just don't think anyone should have the vote because I'm a voluntarist. But a statistical reminder of a world that doesn't care. All right, so let's see what you have. Appreciate your time tonight. Appreciate your thoughts tonight. But it does mean, of course, that the women of virtue and women of quality of character are just gold to anybody with any eyes to see. Episode number for the abortion debate. I don't think it works that way. Let me see here. Yeah, sorry, I did just look for it, and it does seem to be hard to find. My apologies, we will post it. Let me just look here for debate. Oh yeah, that's going to be a little bit of a... Yeah, I'm not sure. I will have to just try that. Maybe I mistyped it. Yeah, okay. I'll make a note for James to check the abortion one. Definitely is up there. Let me see here. Just so I don't forget. All right. We will... sorry about that. We will work to make sure that's findable. Unless James says something in here. If I could, I would pursue the single ladies, 30 plus, even if it means moving to the USA. How the heck do you come up with these time frames? I've heard a few from you, and they seem to be quite long. Culture and generational counterculture. Tech changing things 100 years is a long time, but so is 100 days. Well, it's just a gut. I obviously don't have a proof. It's just my gut. Do you think Oliver should get with Rachel when she wanted to find him in the camp in the book The Present? Here is the local supporters post. Well, yeah, but I mean, it should be in premium.freedomain.com, right? People can't find it in the local supporters stuff very easily. It should be premium.freedomain.com, right? It's called Fairly Ferocious, the Freedomain Abortion Debate. Is it not in premium? Not in premium search. Not sure why. Just the two of us, we can find it if we try. Ooh, that was a little off. Oh, well. Hey, a little off is... progress over the last couple of months. That's a good thing. Good thing. Good thing. Where have you gone to? What do we got here? Freedomain.com/donate. Yes, sorry. We may not have loaded it in the premium search. We, James? We? That's my French way of saying yes. Imagine being a woman who's aware of how terrible modern women are, mostly, but you don't even have the benefit of sexual attraction towards them to make their presence bearable. Cursed. Well, you know, I'm sure you've seen that meme, control your lust, and you'll find how boring 90% of, I think it's women, but it's people as a whole, are. Yeah, control your lust. Imagine if the woman could not provide you sexual access, or the man could not provide you sexual access, status, or resources. How interested would you be in the person if they did not provide immediate hedonistic value or virtue? Interesting. Why is it that women do these selfies while putting makeup on? They do these speeches while putting makeup on. Is that just some female-to-female truth signal? I don't quite understand why this is a thing. But it sure as heck is. Yeah, I think, James, I think people in the past had trouble finding that. I thought we'd had a look at it, but maybe not. I repeat, Steph's books would still be worth what he charges at 5 times the price. Hey, that's funny, because they're free, and nobody's ever heard that joke before. Well done. All right, well, we will stop here, and sorry for those who could not find by the time the show goes out. I'm sure it will be sorted, and you will be able to go to premium.freedomain.com and get it there. But yeah, there's no point having it if it's people have to dig through the history of locals to find it. That's not going to work at all. Might as well have not have done it. So we will get that sorted, and I'm sure we'll look for other things that should be up there that are not. And appreciate your time tonight. Have yourself a glorious evening. Thank you for your patience as I recover from this bizarre love triangle of bacteria and inner ear. It's pretty wild, but I appreciate your patience. I'm mostly on the mend. Have yourself a wonderful, lovely evening. We will talk to you Sunday, 11 a.m. We'll do the first hour open, second hour donors only. And I love you guys so much. Genuinely mean that. Thank you for your support. freedomain.com/donate. Good night.